Hi, everybody. This is Tari, and I think Corrine, and we have a special guest speaker on. Hi, Corrine. How are you doing?
Good. I'm good.
I know. I'm excited about tonight. We've got a really interesting show. We're going to talk all about near-death experiences, and we have a gentleman on. He's a really good friend to me, and I know to you as well, and he's a successful businessman. Let's see a little bit about him. He's also got his master's degree, MS degree, and he's got also an undergrad degree. But most important that distinguishes him from a lot of guys that are people that are in business is that Michael Brooks is his name. He started out, learned all about his life course with his first near-death experience. So let's introduce him. You want to? So, Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
We're so glad to have you. So,
hi, Michael.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Tell us about your. I know that we want. Tell us about your near death experiences and how you got here from there to here and what's going on with you with that.
Well, when I was three, I had a temp, and I was very ill. And temp was like 103, and it was rising. And my mom took me to a hospital in Los Angeles called the Queen of Angels. And my temp jumped to 108, and I passed out completely. And they were worried, and they put me in a tub of ice to break my temp. When I woke up, I was laying in a bed, in a hospital bed, and this nurse was looking over me, and she smiled at me, and then I went right back to sleep. My mom was worried over the years that it would actually cause brain damage, and she was like hysterical during the time. But one of the things that happened while I was out, seemed like I was just out for like a few seconds. I died and came back, and I had an experience of like being there on the other side. And I met, I believe, Christ and angels and said, "Sit down, son. Take as much time as you want." And I sat down on this rock, and during that time, I was like very angry, very upset. And my angels were talking at that time to remember what I had signed up for, remember what I'm here for, and to give me an extra sense of guidance and comfort. And I was still angry during that time. And so a number of different things have happened just like in a split second. I was wise. Instead of being 3 years of age, I had wisdom and knowledge. I understood life. I understood what my purpose was. I understood why I was here and what I was supposed to do. And I also understood the anger that I had because things were not going at that time like I had wanted to. Believe it, at 3 years of age, no, I hadn't conquered the world or anything like that. I'm upset, you know. So,
well, you're upset that you're just back in the world. You're like,
there you go. you know what, dude, this is not happening. You know, we need to fix this problem now, you know. So it was very interesting during that time period. And it had an imprint on my life. On a soul level, now that I look back on it, but also on a physical and practical level at that point in time. And so the funny thing about it was that I came into like asthma, and I had like these asthmatic attacks. Now they've kind of migrated to sinuses. And during that time, like if I was outdoors, and you know, if I wasn't home by 5 o'clock on the dot, I would have one of these asthmatic attacks, and telling my age, I used to have one of these vaporizers, these old-fashioned vaporizers, and they put medicine in there in order to help clear your lungs and to help you breathe at night. Wow. And every time I had something like that, I went into a comatose, kind of like trance-like state, and there I would meet my angels once again. And it was like, oh my gosh, here we go. We're going right back into Class Angel 101. And from 3 years of age up into 6.5 years, every 3 months, no matter if I was being a good soldier, I got home, I was very well, you know, kept and watched what I was doing. It always happened every 3 months, and it was like they had to get my attention and to have to help me to refocus and understand why I was here and what I was going to experience. And it happened like clockwork every 3 months.
Wow. Hey, Corrine and I want to ask you a couple of questions. Corrine, you go first, because I know you and I were talking about this a little bit ago.
So you were saying when you were, you know, every 3 months when you were meeting with the angels, and even the first time that you went into your, when you were in the hospital, you were able to kind of review your life, and they told you what your soul contract would be for this lifetime, and you were able to kind of negotiate things and kind of say and kind of review the different outcomes and choices that you would make in this life. What was their, what is your soul contract? What did they tell you that your lesson here is in this life to learn and what you're here to fulfill?
My contract this lifetime was that I had to learn unconditional love. And my contract this lifetime was love and service. And love and service from a humanitarian perspective is quite easy. During the time that I was actually unconscious, I also had this awareness of past lives, and I mean, even now, some days, on a good day, I struggle with that sometimes. On a bad day, I really struggle with it, but it was real. You know, the things that I was shown about some of the things that I had experienced in a past life were things where I had to relearn this lifetime, and the biggest contract was that I had to learn unconditional love, to be in love, to fall in love. Love and service, it's quite easy because I'm a nurturing, I'm a healer. I remember talking to a friend of mine over the years, and we talked a lot about my life's purpose. And I'm a natural healer, and that's easy because I'm an old soul. I master that. But the art of being vulnerable, being in love, to be loved, to receive love. Those are some very challenging things for me this lifetime. And my angels were going to make sure that because of what I signed up for, that was a lesson I had to get. And I remember saying, what do you mean? Love? What does love have to do with it? You know? I'm like, that's a bug. You know, I'm like, what does love have to do with it? You know, it's just, you know, remember, you're going to have to experience these things. I'm like, you know, come on. I mean, you know, can we negotiate this piece, this inner piece, you know? Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I remember you told us last night that lesson was tied into a past life that was shown to you as a Roman soldier, right? So a lot of,
right.
Can you talk a little bit about that and why that lesson is showing up for you in this lifetime?
One of the things that was also during that time period, and I've always known this, was that this lifetime I'm to learn love and to experience it on a higher vibration, basically attracting a sacred cord, and to be in love and to experience that vibration. And then next lifetime, I was going to do love and service through music. And it sounds kind of interesting when you say it like that, but I remember seeing next lifetime and also part of remembering what I signed up for this lifetime and how the next lifetime the world's going to look different. It's going to have a different vibration. It's going to have a different feel. And love and service through music gives off a different vibe. It's energetic. It's energy, you know. And being an ex-performing musician, you can play different chords and different songs, and it's going to evoke different type of memories. It's going to make you feel happy or feel sad. A lot of blues are written in minor chords. Okay, a lot of upbeat songs are written in major chords, a combination of chords. The next lifetime is going to be love and service through music, but music that will lift the soul, that will resonate and have a higher vibration. But in order to experience that vibration, if you're writing about love songs, you know, it's like Paul McCartney wrote this one song called Silly Love Songs. Not another love song that everyone's going to experience, but love and music and the vibration. And this lifetime, it was to help me prepare for next lifetime, and that was to fall in love, to be in love, to experience the whole gamut, because the vibrations for next lifetime are going to be present and available for me this lifetime.
Michael, I got a question for you. I know that you said, and you're a businessman, you own group homes that that take care of challenged adults, I think, and you had said in your past life, I know that you're talking about love, but you said in your past life that people that you had met in this lifetime, in that lifetime, that had, you know, you guys have been warriors together, or you had fought with them, or whatever. You're now some of them you're taking care in this lifetime. Is that true? You know what?
One of the things that when I was unconscious, and that's one of the reasons why, like every 3 months, I had these, you know, classes where had to remind me, and I was very hurt and angry for some of the past things that one of the past life for me was that I was a Roman soldier. And it sounds so cliche, you know, because you hear it all the time, but I actually felt that, and I actually was reminded of that on a regular basis. But being at that time, because of the things that, as a soul, were not very pleasant, I chose to wear, I didn't want to experience love. I didn't want to feel that compassion anymore, and kind of like bar myself from being connected. And some of the people that I actually felt at the time that I had injured, hurt, did some very horrible things, were some of the souls that would be in my care this lifetime. And not just ones that are in, you know, the contracts that I have, my company has, we have services. I met one particular soul a few years ago who actually came to live with me at one point before I expanded services. And as soon as I met him, I knew him. It's one of those reoccurrences, like, I've seen you before, I know you. It's one of these where different souls have a different remembrance when they come in contact with one another. You know, haven't I seen you? I think we've all said it at one point. Haven't I seen you before? You look so familiar.
Right.
You
yeah,
know?
You're right.
Or deja vu. You know, I've had tons of those things throughout my life as a sign. You walk by somebody and all of a sudden, like, I've seen you before. It's like a deja vu. The clouds hit you and the bells whistle and, you know, and you get that aha moment. You know, soul recognitions. You know, and I think those are shown by different people at different times. And I felt that connection with one particular soul and a couple of others. And that's why one of the reasons what was shown to me was why being a healer was to try to make up for past life transgressions, if you want to say it like that, and what I barred myself from feeling was unconditional love, because that's one of the ultimate love components when you're dealing with people and the care and being concerned for people.
Wow, that's cool. Michael, I know Corrine and I have talked about this before. You remember a couple days ago, Corrine? What I know, and people are wanting to know this, does everyone have soul contracts? And what does God look like, or Jesus, and angels? I'd like to know, right?
Well, we see heaven.
In heaven, yeah, right? I mean, you know, we see angels. How did you see? Yeah, heaven, that'd be cool too, right?
Well, I believe everyone does. I know from my experience, when I crossed over the first time, I saw light tied into, like, molded into, like, a man. And I had this wisdom, this energy of, I know, I'm not all knowing. I mean, because I believe only God or the universe is the only one that has that, but I know what's going on. And I could feel as I'm talking to someone, I could feel their answers, and I could feel their energy there, and it was light. It was, I mean, you hear it all the time. It's like beautiful light. It's a warm light. It's an inviting energy. It's peaceful. It's powerful. It is rejuvenating and wisdom. It's like you know the course of how the universe was put together, but because it's like elementary on a soul level like that, you don't talk about it. You talk about the other things of why you make a soul contract and what are the life lessons that you're wanting to experience. And you concentrate on those type of things. And that's what happened with me, is when I crossed over, I had to be, you know, counseled. I had to be kind of like renegotiating to a certain extent of why I was here and what was my calling and what was my purpose. And they weren't going to let me off the hook.
They weren't going to let you off the hook. Well, that's cool. I get you on that one. Let me ask you another question. Or, Corinne, go ahead, because I know you had several questions you wanted to ask him, too, because I've asked you a couple. So,
yeah. So you're so fortunate that you're able to be told your soul's contract for this life. Do you think that your life would have turned out any differently if you had not been shown your soul's contract? Would you have done things differently? Would you have done exactly the same exact thing?
I believe I probably would have done something maybe a little different. I'm always a firm believer that if we choose not to adhere to our contracts, I believe that there are like little subpars to where you could kind of deviate, but you'll have some essence of what you're called to do. For an example, I believe I probably would have been in the teaching field. Both my parents were educators. I chose to go into mental health. Well, I knew I was going to do group homes. I saw the words. I knew that that was the compassion that I was to do. But let's just say I had the skills to be able to negotiate, and I was effective with doing that. I probably would have been in the teaching field, still teaching or working with challenging individuals who had some very important needs that had to be met in the mental health field. I believe also that if you do get out of your contract, there's always going to be sub-things that you're going to end up working, kind of tentacles, and you take an alternative path, but you will meet the things that you are signed up for in this in your soul contract. And I believe everyone does have a soul contract.
Wow. Okay. By the way, Michael, I've got a couple of people that are IMing me on Yahoo, and they want to know if you're single. So I just said that you're engaged. So you love yourself unconditionally, and you met a beautiful young woman that you're getting ready to marry in the future someday. But let me ask you a question. Did you know that you were going to meet her, or did you know you were going to meet other people like that? Did you know who you were going to marry when you first met her?
As a matter of fact, yes, I did.
Okay.
One of the things that I did. I'll spill the beans. when I was unconscious, you know, me being kind of honorary like I am, I remember asking. I said, "Well, look, if I'm going to have to do this, show me what my life is going to look like. You know, and I'd like to be awake and aware of these certain things." And so they showed my whole life like in a movie reel. And there were certain keys that I was to remember. And grant you, every 3 months I was right back in the classroom here. But signs, there were different signs that I was to remember and that would be present. And the signs are just not because I'm at this age now, but I've had these signs all throughout my life. I've had the deja vus, I've had the synchronicities. I even met an angel. I knew I was going to have an angelic presentation in my mid-20s, and that actually happened. If you have a moment, I'll tell you what happened with
that. Oh, no, please, tell us. That's cool, because, okay. and but But before you go any further, I want to make sure, because we always say this, if anybody wants to ask a question or share a near-death experience or talk to Michael or ask a psychic question, give us a call. I know the numbers are out there. And Michael, you tell us your angelic experience in your mid-20s, please.
And then Michael, just real quick, if you can just move your voice a little bit farther away from the phone. We're having a little bit of difficulty with the...
Sure.
The clarity. Okay, thanks. All right, so tell us about the angels that you met in the 20s.
Well, I knew at some point that I was working on my master's degree. This was a little earlier in my life. And I knew I was going to meet an angel. I just didn't know exactly when. And I did. I was gassing up, and I was driving home while I was living in Los Angeles many, many years ago. And this person came up, and he got in the car, and we were chatting. And then he asked me to pull over, and I did, and I let him out of the car. And as soon as he got out of the car, he said, "Got to give you that which you've asked for." And I was like, wow, okay, I must have asked for 1,000 different things. But when I pulled off and I turned around, he was gone. And right then and there, I'm like, wow, this is happening. And then the next couple of series of events in my life were actually paving the way for what I'm doing now. And that was a clear sign.
That's neat.
It happened during the time period, mid-20s. And actually was always looking for a gentleman that was going to be wearing a brown outfit, like any type of UPS brown outfit or a uniform. And it happened. Throughout my life, also, I've had the signs. Everything has to equal sevens. I would get deja vus, synchronicities, even different types of words that would come through maybe the radio, if you listen to a radio or a book or even meditation. And when those signs would pop up, I would always get a deja vu or synchronicity with it. And so I've always known at different junctures throughout my life that certain events were going to happen. And without the medium that we have now, 99% of the things have manifested thus far.
That's amazing. And let me ask you a question, if it's okay. So the angels told you about different souls that you would meet. I know that free will has a lot to do with all this, and you can explain that to us too as well, if you don't mind. But you've been extremely successful. You're spiritual. You're successful, and you've met the woman of your dreams. You've got a great career. You've got a great business. What were some of the things that the angels shared with you, if they did share with you about how to with success? And I think you mentioned about gratitude, too. Would that be okay if we ask you that?
Sure. One of the things about success and what was shown to me was that giving. And the greatest gift is love and giving of yourself for service to others. You know, I think the greatest love that you can ever give somebody is, you know, you lay down your life for them, for somebody else. Well, the art of giving is also attracts wealth and success. And wealth and success can be just what you would want it to be. Wealth can be an abundance of anything that's of value to you. And by giving of yourself and being open to receive from a perspective of not just from love, but giving of yourself. And I believe there's energy that when you give and the law of balance, you will receive what you're giving out. So if your intentions of wanting to get a better job or get a better house or find a better career or find a love, being open and being able to give of yourself and to keep your emotions there and to be centered, you will attract what you're looking to bring into your life. And I've always believed that, and I've seen that in a lot of wealth that's built in this world, a lot of it's given to different people because they're willing to give it back. And that's what I believe that we're here to do, is to help one another, to build one another up, and to help care for one another. Now, there are different people that probably would have a different perspective from that, but the basis of love and happiness and joy from within, and you're able to share that with others. And there's an energy level that I believe when you're vibrating and you're giving and you're of your time, of your effort, and it's done with sincerity, you'll get that back in what you're looking for in whatever career, whatever hobbies, and you'll make a better mark on the world.
That's amazing. And if you can't give money, you can give time, right? Because you talked to us about that before. Okay. And wow, that's cool. And you started out with just like just barely making it or putting it together. And the laws or the rules, the law of balance, the things that the wisdom that the angels shared with you and Christ shared with you is what got you here today. Is that right? You know, with your business, with your love. And you told me something because you've been a great mentor to me. What about loving yourself unconditionally? You told me about that this morning when we were chatting. Remember? So we share because people have a hard time with that. Don't you agree, Corrine?
Yes. We were talking about that earlier, too, today.
Yeah, loving yourself unconditionally. I always make a joke with Michael about he was at the What's Love Got to Do With It. Tina Turner was in the same place. I said, next lifetime, you better get the song. So tell us about that, if you don't mind.
Unconditional love and loving yourself, you know, not from an... You know, one of the things that I've learned, and this is you know, part of one of my life lessons, it's easy to volunteer yourself and your time and to be a due diligent worker. But at some point in time, you're going to have to, you know, love yourself in order to forgive yourself because we're not perfect. But once you're able to do that, then you're able to attract a higher vibration. And you're able to do more things. And one of the things that I've learned, and it's taken several years, is to start to love myself and to accept myself, you know, not from an egocentric perspective, but you are cared about. You are loved. If you love yourself and you take care of yourself and you value yourself, then you'll be a better person for the next people or the next group. And then you can help share and spread a sense of unity for others. You know, take care of yourself, and then you're able to help take care of someone else.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. Corrine, we got a couple callers on. Should we take them now? Do you feel
comfortable?
Okay, Michael? Because they probably want to ask you questions, too. Okay, good.
All right, we've got three callers on the line, so we'll clear them out. We've got Willie from Florida's first.
Hi, Willie.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Therese.
Hello.
Michael and Corrine, how are you?
Good.
Hello. Hi. Listen, you guys have an unbelievable program there. I'm just engrossed with this call. My question was, how does one find out what their soul contract is and if they're already in alignment with what their soul contract is?
That's something we asked Michael before. So, Michael, will you share your... Because he got that straight from the angels and the great I Am. So share with us, Michael, if that's okay.
I believe how you find your soul contract is through meditation and ask. Basically, as simple as it is, you know not because you've asked not. And if you're not aware of what your soul contract is, ask. And then once you ask... Be ready to receive it. It's like one of my mentors was really counseling me, and I struggled with that at some point. And this was a very simple analogy. There was a gentleman who was on a boat and it capsized, and he's in the water, and so he's praying to God, you know, save me, save me. So God sends a helicopter, and the guy's like, I don't want the helicopter. And he's like, you know, save me, save me. So, you know, God sends a boat. He's like, I don't want the boat. He says, save me, you know, sends a life preserver. He's like, you know, I don't want the life preserver. Then, you know, kind of like, look, I sent you three things. You know, I sent the helicopter, sent the lifeboat. You know, I sent the life preserver, you know, and, you know, what's up? You know, you're not accepting. So when you ask, if you ask, then be ready to receive it. And it may come in a thought. It may come in a movie. You may watch a movie. It may come in a song. But being open, and once you get it, and once you receive it, then you will have the validation in order to understand what your soul contract is. I don't believe that it's going to be an Einstein equation that you have to sit down and pull out a book. I don't believe the universe is set up that way. You ask not, you know not. If you ask, you receive.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. And I have one more question. Do you believe that some people instinctively are already in alignment with their soul contract without even knowing what a soul contract is?
Good
yes.
question.
Yeah,
yes. Yes. And some of the examples that were shown to me was how things are so natural. A person that's in alignment mm-hmm. with their call to do, it would be so natural. It's like, well, I do this, it's effortless. And they enjoy it. And it's I'm not saying it doesn't have work or requires work or time, but it becomes effort. It's an effortless moment, and it doesn't require a lot of energy. And they'll know. A lot of times you'll see that, or that person will know where their calling is and their contract by how effortless their work is and how impactful and joyful it is. And so I believe that. That's one or other way, if they're not, you know, aware of it. I believe that's how that's shown there.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you. That's Willie, does that answer your questions?
It sure does. I got a tingling up my spine when he said it, and it's one of those answers, almost like when he answered it, it's like, you know the answer to that. Okay, so, I mean, it was like a confirmation. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. That's really good. We've got a couple other callers too. You know, Michael, you're like a nice, normal, you know, good-looking guy, and who's spiritual, and has it all. Corrine and I want to attract that same thing. Right, Corrine? Corrine has a boyfriend, so anyway, you have to tell us your secret, okay? So that's what we want to do. I mean, you know, you play sports. You know, sometimes, you know, people that are, you know, spiritual and metaphysical, they're not so connected. You know what I'm talking about, you know.
Amen. I was telling Tariq, I said, talking to you last night was like the knowledge of reading like 20 books all in one person. It was, you're so, such an inspiration. I mean, you are the epitome of what everybody strives to be good in this world. You know, it's what we're all striving to be. The knowledge, I mean, you don't, you know, I was telling Tariq, I said, you weren't just given this information then just sat on your butt and just like kind of waited, okay, you know, let it fall into my lap. You actually took this information and have studied it and worked with it and grown with it, and you stand for everything that's good. I mean, it's just so inspiring, and we are so grateful to know you and have you on the show today.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, and mm-hmm. and I got to tell you, people, a lot of our Corrine and I's clients are IMing me right now, and they're all women. I'm like, he's engaged.
We knew that was going to happen. We knew that. We said
that's funny. Anyway.
The floodgates open.
Yeah, there you go, right? Anyway, so we got another caller. That's
we
funny.
Do. We've got Teresa from New Jersey.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, ladies? How are you, Michael?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
What's your question?
Am I coming in? Okay.
Yes, you are.
My question is, how do you, like, I love your analogy about how God sends all these different people to save the guy, and he never, I guess he was looking for God himself
right.
to save him. How, right. when we ask for these things, our automatic instinct is that we're asking for, like, God or an angel to show up. How do we, like, when we're opening ourselves up to these things, how can we see it more simply, like the rowboat example? Like, what can we do to see the purity of a sign when we, I guess, have a belief that it should be a bigger sign? You know what I mean? Am I making sense?
Yes, making sense. I believe you can actually get a little more technical if you wanted to, but being open to what you're asking for. So if you're asking for something very specific, give me three taps on the door and let me know that that's real. I mean, if you're actually going to get specific and you're asking for a clarity of a sign, okay, then be willing to wait until you get that. Because when you actually receive that sign that you're asking for, it will happen not necessarily when you're wanting it to happen, but it will happen when you least expect it. Because when you least expect it, it will have a better impact, and you'll resonate with it much better. I remember learning over the years that I wanted an answer. I wanted it in 15 minutes. Now, you know, I'll be open for any answer, but I need it within 15 minutes. You can, you know, I'm open. You know, if you want to shoot fireworks in the sky and says, here's the answer, let it be within 15 minutes from the time that I'm asking. But sometimes it wasn't 15 minutes from the time that I asked. At that time, 2 or 3 days later.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
In your time, there you go. We always say, think my time's better than God's time until it's better.
I know. It's the issue with divine timing, right?
Yeah.
They're on
I hate that one.
Different clock.
Why not now? Divine timing. I should control time.
I don't like that clock.
It's no fun. Okay. I think we got another caller, don't we?
We do. We've got Sharon from Georgia.
Hi, Sharon. Okay, we must have lost her. All right.
Okay,
well,
if we've lost her, Oh, there she is.
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
How are you?
I kind of feel bad because this has nothing to do with the subject today, so I hope that's okay. I hope y'all will forgive me.
No. You're free to call. This is what this is for. So it's nice we have Michael because he's got a great vibration, probably has lots of answers. But what's your question?
Well, it does have to do with a man, just not Michael. I'm wanting to know exactly when maybe love will come into my life. I've really not ever experienced it.
Oh, okay. Well, his fiance is glad it's not him, right, Michael? So that's a good thing. Anyway, Michael, do you want to share with her, because I know you've got a lot of thoughts about that and the angels have talked to you about that. Can you share with her about that yourself? Because I know you're very, very open and gifted.
I believe that the love of your life can come into your life when you're ready. And when you're ready is when you're able to put that in that action and those motions into play. If I'm ready, then you'll start to believe it and you'll start to feel it. I know the love is coming. I am aware. I'm waiting for it. And you start to bring that vibration up, and then that attracts others. I'm a firm believer in that the thought starts with the mind and the feeling it. I'm ready, and I'm ready to experience it. I'm ready to experience the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything else in between. And by consciously being aware of that and raising your vibration to feel it, I'm ready.
Wow.
And by thinking it and saying it, you'll start to feel it, and you'll start getting that person. That person may knock on your door tomorrow, or that you may bump into that person at Walmart or someplace like that. But it's also being ready to receive that person, you know, without.
Well, I kind of feel like I've been putting that thought out there for the last couple of years. Is there a possibility I'm trying too hard or
letting it go? Let it go. You put it out there and know that it's going to be, it's like a boomerang effect. You throw it out there, it's going to come right back to you. Let it go. I believe that if you hold on to it, then you're hindering the process. Let it go. Just know that it's coming. You just don't know when, and you go about, it's kind of like going about your life like you're expecting it to happen any moment. And while you're expecting it and you're doing things, it raises your vibration, and next thing you know, you're right there standing next to the person that you know that was there and meant for you. You put the request out there, let it go, and act. Act as though you have it. Walk it. Believe it. Feel it. And I believe you'll be standing next to that person real soon.
That's
beautiful. Well, the person may actually be in your life right now, but I believe this, that maybe we're not ready yet. Maybe the person's right there, but the universe is keeping that person from us because we're not ready yet to experience it.
I already may know them.
Maybe. May I interject something, Sharon? One of the, he said something real key, let go and let God. One of the things that, and I know Michael and I have talked about this, and Corrine and I, the cosmic ordering system, and setting, instead of saying, God, please get me the man of my dreams, I'm assuming it's a man, whoever, the person of your dreams, just say, thank you for letting me have that person. Remember, it's like a hamburger. When you order a hamburger, you say, can I have my hamburger, and I'd like it this way, this way, this way, whether you eat hamburgers or not. But you don't continually go up and say, did you get my hamburger order? You just know that the person behind the counter got your order, and they'll just let it go. Does that make sense to you, Sharon,
yeah,
a little bit?
Yeah, it does.
You know? Okay, good. Does that's something. How about you, Corrine? Do you have anything you want to share with that? Because we had a couple other callers that want to talk to Michael.
No, that's perfect. Yeah, exactly what you guys said is what I would have said, too. So, and I did get a wedding coming up for some reason. I got wedding immediately, so if that gives you a little bit of hope. I pulled an angel card, and I got the same thing. I got a wedding card. Again, it's about what Michael and Sheree are saying.
Did you have
to
see the guy's name on the wedding card?
No, I'm sorry. But you know what it is? It's that you're in the process right now of creating this for yourself. You've announced that you're ready for this. Now it's about setting your vibration to match that and act as though you already have it, that you will receive it, that you believe it, that you feel it with every part of your being, and then you let it go and you release and surrender it to God and the angels. Because the more that you put yourself in, you know, anticipation, you create anxiety around it, the more you push against it. So now you just raise your vibration, act as though you have it, and then let it go.
Well, I truly recognize it when I have it, because in the past history, I've not been batting very good.
You will know it. You will know it when you have it, and it's about, expecting it to happen, being ready for it, and it'll show up for you.
Remember Michael's rowboat story, Sharon, okay? And by the way, you don't need to know the guy's name now. Just make sure you got it spelled right on the wedding invitation. And Corrine and Michael get to come because we love wedding cake and we get great presents. Okay?
That's the deal.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks, Sharon. Thank you all.
Okay, we've got one more caller, and it's Diane.
Diane. Hello. From Colorado. How are you?
Hey. I am good, and I apologize because I missed the first half of this call because I lost track of time, and I hope that you haven't already answered this question. But I was writing about my question. I absolutely believe in the soul contract, the soul agreement, and I really feel like we are drawn into people's lives, and they're drawn into our lives because we've already got this predetermined agreement that there's a lesson that we need to learn from them, or they need to learn from us, or both. But my question is, I think sometimes, your angels trick you, or your guides, your own higher self tricks you into believing that, you know, this person is the way to go. This is the relationship that, you know, of your dreams, because you need to get into the relationship to learn that lesson. And later on you realize, oh my gosh, I never should have gotten involved with this person. That wasn't the guy for me, or woman, or whatever, and that was a painful lesson, but it was a lesson you needed to learn, and that's why you were kind of given these false signals of be attracted to that person. So my question is, how do you know whether you're just being drawn into a relationship because there's a lesson in there for you, or whether it's really a heart-to-heart connection that's a real love? It's not just about learning a lesson. It's about like a destiny love. How do you know that?
Michael, answer that, because I know that's something that you and I have talked about a lot, and will you share?
Sure. I believe that a lot of times if you're coming in contact with someone and you're drawn to that person, I believe that those are written into your contract. But being drawn to that person is to work out some life lessons. It may be a smile to help that person through some trying moment, but I believe that it is a life lesson that you're to learn. Now, sometimes it's you get into a relationship that maybe it's not supposed to manifest that way, but just maybe coming in contact. And coming in contact, then that could be a number of different things of what you're there for, to help that person through something, maybe to validate something that happened maybe in a past life. It could be a number of different things. But I believe that we're all drawn to someone at different points in our lives to help fulfill something. And what that something could be, it could be a number of different things. Even if it's just passing and saying hello, because you're going to do that, and that hello could actually inspire someone else to do something great. I believe that nothing is done by chance.
Wow.
You know, I believe that we all have a purpose for whatever reason it is. The trick is to be open to understand what that purpose is and to be able to receive what those answers are, be it small, be it medium, or be it large.
That's huge. Wow. Corrine and I were talking about something today regarding a heart connection, and also, is it something that's meant to be? Is this our life mate? Or, you know, are you asking if it's somebody that just is to teach us something? Corrine, you told me your sister had a dream, and can you share that, or the philosophy? Because it was brilliant what you said.
Well, she's, you know, going through a relationship situation, and she had a dream the previous night where she had started dating somebody else, but then this other man came back into her life and wanted to try again with her. And in the dream, she wasn't quite sure about what to do, because she had still had feelings for him, but she was dating someone else, and she hadn't decided. And then all of a sudden she woke up and she asked me what the dream meant, and I told her, you know, that, you know, it's When you come into a situation where you're not quite sure if the other person's supposed to be right for you, right? Which I think is what you're asking, Diane, right? Are you supposed to go that route then, if you kind of know?
Right.
Or are you supposed to fulfill that light, that whatever that contract is or that life lesson is supposed to learn? And I told her this man was meant to come into her life. It doesn't matter whether or not she's supposed to be with him. He's the man that she's going to marry. He was brought into her life for her soul's growth. And that's what this is about. And if she was told, okay, no, he's not the man you're going to marry, she's going to miss out on that opportunity for her soul's growth. And that's what this life is about, right? It's about growing through your experiences, not seeing every time, you know, every red flag wherever it goes, and then going the other direction, because you're going to learn that lesson no matter what. It'll just be harder the next time, you know? So right. It's about her soul's growth with this man right now. And she's recognizing that, you know, it's not about the other man. It's not about any man. It's about what she needs to learn from this experience, how she's going to grow from it, and learning to love herself in the process. And then when she raises her vibration to that point where she loves herself, she knows what she wants to experience, then that man or another man will either rise to the occasion and match that vibration, or another man will step in, you know, once she's learned the lesson. And so that, you know, that's...
And I totally agree.
Sense?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I guess my question is more of a philosophical question. Mm-hmm. It's just that, do we as human beings ever really know, you know, this is the right person that I'm going to just stay on this journey with? You know, is there any way that we can know I'm not just attracted to this person because there's a lesson? And I totally agree with you. You're drawn to learn that lesson. And if you were told up front, this is not going to end, you know, well, you're not going to go. You would choose not to go there, and it's a place that you needed to go. You needed to learn that lesson, and I totally agree with that. Where my mind's been going is like, how could you know, we're given these signals, oh, this person is the right one for me. Is there really a way to really believe, you know that, yeah, this is the right person? It's not just another lesson that's going to check off your list of lessons and then you move on to the next person. I'm just struggling. I'm wondering that question myself.
You know what, Marianne Williamson, she teaches the Course in Miracles. She says in the romantic relationships CDs that she has out, what happens is when we start focusing on the person to for joy, and we look to him or her, you know, whatever we want, instead of our eyes focusing on our higher self, on the spirit within each and our connection to God or your higher power within each and every one of us, then that's where we start learning the lessons. So it's like not about the right person. It's about loving unconditional love. That's what she says. That's what the Course in Miracles says. So it doesn't really matter about the person. When that person matches you and starts, in like Michael says, loving yourself unconditionally, you know, we talk about that all the time, then it falls together. But what happens is we start looking to that person. They're not doing this. They're not doing that for us. Or are we putting attachment, how they need to show up? And that's when it gets a little bit crazy, right? You guys, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So, but I would really recommend that, Romantic Relationships by Marianne Williamson. It is amazing. I re-listen to them over and over again because our focus shouldn't be the person, although, and Corrine and I were talking about this last night, Michael and I were as well, our focus should be loving ourselves and concentrating on, I'm connected to source energy, source energy is connected to me, however you say that, you know. And then when you do that, then you get a lot of clarity. Because Michael was talking about it to me this morning because we were chatting about the call. Corrine's on the West Coast and we're on the East Coast, or Central time zone. But he goes, it's all about loving yourself and you deserve what you deserve. Right, Michael? Do you remember chatting about that this morning?
Yes, exactly. And if you find that center base, then everything else falls into place. Then you will be shown if this is the right person or not. But what are the life lessons that you're to learn while your energies are being shared with one another? Then you'll know. Then you'll have the answer. It's just, will you be able to hear and feel the response? Or is the response what we want to hear? And if it's not, then it's like that analogy about the guy who wants, you know, to be rescued. So, no, I don't like that response. Give me something else. You know, being open to hear and to receive when you love and you care, to be able to hear and get that information back and to take that information and then proceed with whatever you want to do with it.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. That is so true. We got a couple more minutes, you guys. Diane, did that answer your question somewhat? I can still feel your energy questioning it. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. We'll talk later. Bye, Diane. Michael, I want to ask you a question because I know that you do a lot of work with music, and we've got about two more minutes before we have to get off the air, but share with us about music, and I know you're promoting someone, and share the books if someone wants to educate themselves connecting with their higher power, their angels. What would you recommend they read, and anything music that they can listen to? And I know you're promoting a gentleman or young man in California, and his music is amazing, so you say, and we believe you. So share with us in the last 2 minutes.
Well, music-wise, music has a different vibration than when you're listening to. There are some songs that are out there now, like five-part harmonies, like Backstreet Boys, that kind of stuff, where five-part harmony and it raises your vibration up. And it's very easy to listen to, and it's nice. But music soothes the soul. And it also has some healing properties as well. Books, I would say, I've read a few things on Edgar Cayce, and I started following quite a bit of his reading. And I find it resonates, and it helps me to stay focused and to be grounded in times when the world gets a little chaotic, you know, at times. So music is very powerful, very, very, very powerful, and it can raise the vibration. It's very good. And there are all kinds of different types of music that's out there as well. But harmonies are very good, chromatics and guitar works, a lot of acoustic guitar work that you can listen to. That helps in meditation, and it helps raise the vibration of the soul. So very, very good. Different types of works.
So Backstreet Boys and Duran Duran, I think you shared with us too as well. Good.
Yeah, Duran Duran.
Girls on Film, I remember that. Downloaded it on my iPod. So, thank you. Anyway, Michael, you have been wonderful to have as a guest tonight, and I know that we'd love to have you back, right, Corinne? So,
absolutely.
In the future. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so if you want to talk to Corinne and I or join our classes, I know Corinne's got an angel card class coming up on Sunday. Learn how to talk to your angels. What time is it, Corinne, Sunday night?
It's 5 p.m. East Coast time.
Okay, 5 p.m. East Coast time, and so you can go online and register for it at angelcoaches.com, and you can register anywhere in the U.S. because it's going to be done on a conference line, so we're excited about that. Anyway, Michael, take care. Corinne, thank you so very much, and we'll see you guys next week.
All right, good night, everyone.
Take care.